John, the first chapter, the Gospel of John. We will be reading verses 10 through 13. Today's message is called, Are We Family? And its subtitle is Spiritual Truth. Okay? For those who are building their workbooks and stuff. Okay? Are we there? 1 John 10. We'll read 13. He was in the world, and through the world was made, or though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. There is a thought that is going through the church right now that says the child of a believer is also a child of God. And to a certain degree, that is true. Because until that child comes to the age of accountability, there is much grace to that. So in a sense, that is true. But it also, this scripture refutes the idea that just because our children, little ones, or our children, they themselves do not get a free pass and enter in because, you know, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, so my kids get a free pass. We have to understand that this scripture is refuting salvation by coming through the jacket tails of our salvation. Eventually, the job of the father's in the home, is to train up a child in the way she should go, and also lead them into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate responsibility of a father. That is the son of the king. What we have to understand is that as a child gets older, the child understands God. He understands God as creator. But entering into this personal relationship transfers the person from an understanding of God the creator to God the father. And what we need to do is teach our kids who God the Father is. Because, let's face it, most of us did not have a good father role model for us. And so we've come into the kingdom handicapped in our ability to represent God to our children. And so what we need to understand is that God has a specific purpose for us as fathers to teach his children. Fivefold has a special responsibility to the sons and daughters of the house, and we must teach you the proper way in order to behave and speak and conduct yourselves, because there are many things that sons and daughters receive from God. But we must also understand that our little ones, the only way that they can enter into the kingdom of God and enter into heaven is through placing their faith into Jesus Christ. And they first must hear the gospel from us, and that would be a continuous repetition of the word, because let's face it, kids have a very short attention span and don't really grab a hold of that. We also need to emphasize how important it is for them that he is a personal savior. He is not a personal savior of a family. He is a personal savior of the individual. And we've all heard from past experiences that if there was only one person in the world that sinned, God would have still sent his son to save that one. That's how relational God is. We must also understand, according to this scripture, that We cannot enter into the kingdom through any human effort. Just because they're born into our kids are born into a certain family does not give them an exception to the rule. Scripture is very clear here that it's not by our will, it's not by our endeavor, it's not by our even wanting our kids. We want our kids to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. But they must make that decision for themselves. And so we have this dubious distinction of learning how to teach our kids who God the Father is, because He is our Father, and how to exhibit this lifestyle. And part of it is understanding that when I've heard the gospel, I've made the decision and believe what's going on, we call that born again, right? That's where the enlightening of our spirit comes and God becomes real to us. He is no longer God the Creator. He becomes God the Father to us. And what happens in that very instant is the fear of God, and the world is afraid of God. That's why they don't want to talk about God. But we want to talk about God the Father, because that's who Jesus was representing. He said to Philip, he says, you know, you asked me to you would see the Father, Philip. How long have I been with you? As you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so what we need to do as fathers is begin to represent our Heavenly Father in a most opportune way, in which they can see the love of God flowing through us, not leading our lives in such a way that the fear of God dominates them. And that's why Scripture is always replete about, you know, husbands, don't lord it over your families. Lording implies a sternness, a hardness to it. You know, we must be loving. We must be patient. We must be ever enduring. We must not shout at our kids. We need to take the time. Shouting's easy. But we must take the time like our Father does, and He comes to us and speak to Him. Speak to His children. He wants us to spend time with Him so that we become more like Him. And so, in becoming more like Him, the world will begin to see. And part of our thing is John 13:35. It says what? They will know you. You are His disciples by the love you have one for another. We are to exude this love of the Father for each and every person, but especially our children. Okay? Now this word believe carries a thought that really, it brings an individual into a state of full awareness. When you enter into believing something, you fully are aware of what that is saying, you have full knowledge of it, and then you begin to believe. Your belief system is based on what you have been fully made aware of. And so you structure your life in that, good or bad. That's what we've done before we got saved. And that's why we need to learn what the Father is talking about. That's why we need to learn how to exude these things. That's why we need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying and implement those things as quickly as possible, because we don't want to damage the little ones. We want them to grow up better than us, so that as they mature quicker, the kingdom of God is built stronger through love. We should never make a decision based on insufficient information. And what happens to most of us is that in our lives, we make decisions based on insufficient information. I like to say we allow our situations to dictate our decision making, or our environment will structure our decisions in such a way that we respond to the environment. We do not respond to the Word of God or the love of God. And so every decision that we need must be in this concise way. To have this informed awareness is also to understand that we don't enter into this relationship with God through human effort. a religious organization. Well, I'm a Presbyterian, so everybody's going to be a Presbyterian. And only the Presbyterians are going to be part of the Frozen Chosen. You know, it doesn't work that way. Joining a church is not a club. That is human mindset. You can only be born again into the church. And so, I'm not saying anything to you that you don't know. It's remedial, but I'm trying to get to a place in understanding, are we really family? Because your belief system determines your condition in the family. Many worldly thoughts have gone out through the ages that have tried to confuse the people of God as to, are they children of God or not? Some of this stuff deals with am I truly born again? Most people doubt their salvation. And so we cross that bridge in that. But the world teaches things like, they'll say Jesus did many miracles. They'll say that Jesus had compassion upon the poor. And he did. And he performed many things. They said that he was wise in the things that he spoke about and conducted himself in a realm that they could not catch him in. But what they do not do is they do not express a belief in what he said about himself, that he is the Son of God. And so what must happen for us is we need to engage our friends, our neighbors in such a way to convince them that what he has said and what the Bible says is true. We structure our lives around the Word of God. We minister the Word of God to each other. Why? Because my opinion doesn't matter. All that matters is what Father says. And as a son, I need to be obedient to what my Father tells me to do. If not, there are ramifications for my disobedience. And there's ramifications for yours. So what happens is, do I wholeheartedly embrace what Jesus has said is true, creating a belief, which is being totally informed, to make a decision about my salvation as a child of God? Right? And be able to articulate that to someone else. Because you see, we got saved to go save somebody else. So it is our responsibility to not only engage our Father, but also engage the community at large to win the loss so that Father's house can be overflowing with people, and then He'll come and take us away. The question now comes to us is, which child am I? Am I a child that is seeking God? Am I a child that is learning from God? Am I a child that wants to do the things, spending time with my Father, doing the things that He tells me that I can do because He's with me and He does these things? Or am I another child? Am I a child that lives in my Father's house without love, without any kind of gratitude, without any kind of appreciation for who He is and what He has provided for us? See, the question is, do I still want to live my life and call myself His son, or am I His son? Am I His daughter? Because how you live determines whose family you're in. And that's the truth. Am I a child who simply wants all the perks and privileges without the responsibilities? Or am I His child that has all the perks, the privileges, and the responsibilities that my Father lays upon me to be part of His household? When my kids were growing up, part of the responsibilities of being in the Stiles family was you had chores. Chores were designed in such a way to create a work ethic. In creating a work ethic, we had a reward system. You had an allowance. When you did not do your chores, you did not get an allowance. Right? And so, once our kids began to understand the value of a dollar, and it didn't just grow off the trees, you know, I didn't go out in the yard and start picking these $10, $15 bills off. I was teaching my kids how the kingdom works. I was teaching them the value of a dollar. A true child of God is seeking Him, learning from Him, learning of Him, and is equipped to take on life through a full commitment, gratitude, friendship, and fellowship with the Father. If I am in that relationship with my Father, it should be easy for me to have a relationship with His children, my brothers and my sisters. Amen? Should be. But the question goes back to, what child am I? Turn to Romans 8. Now, God confirms to us if we're His kid or not. Okay? And in Romans 8, 12 through 17, Paul expresses how this is. He says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to live according to the sinful nature. For if we live according to the sinful nature, we will die. But if we live by the Spirit, and you put death to the deeds of the body, you will live. So here's a marking of a person that the world likes to say is a carnal Christian. Or a believer. Okay? You're living by the flesh, or you're living by the Spirit. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Remember? God the Creator, fear. But you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Now we have God the Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now we are His children, and we are His heirs. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. God has broken down such a simple way for us to confirm that we're His kids. Peter and John says to us to take some time to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. I like to break it down and say, you need to check yourself out to see if you're part of the family or you're not. That doesn't mean that we're walking in abject perfection. What it means is, do I maintain my relationship to Jesus Christ? Is it intimate or is it sporadic? Am I doing the things that He tells me to do, or I just say, I'll get to it later? Everything that we do has a consequence. If we are obedient to God and do the things, good consequences. If we delay our obedience, the Word says, because God loves us, He will punish us or correct us, discipline us, because we're His kids. He doesn't discipline them. He will discipline them, but that's still in the future. He will discipline us. So part of this thing is, do we have His Spirit? Question one. Am I being led by His Spirit? Has His Spirit bore witness to my spirit that I'm His kid? I can't answer that for you. I can only answer for myself. And for me, it's yes. I can't answer for Irene. I can't answer for Jess. Because your relationship with Jesus Christ is your relationship. And I truly believe that your relationship will determine your salvation. I believe you can lose your salvation simply by not maintaining your relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I'm busy, Pastor. We're all busy. You're given the same amount of time as I do. It's what you do in that time that will determine how important a relationship is. Well, I got things to do. You know, I got responsibilities to do. We all do. But our first responsibility is principle number one, which is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this stuff will be added to you. See, God the Father does not want us to labor for things. He wants to impart them to us. It's not a matter of how much we have. It's how much He has of us. Okay? So if we're His kid, we have His divine DNA running through our bodies. As we spend time with Him in prayer, fasting, and fasting can take on numerous different degrees of things, from total abstention from food to just simple things that remove from your life temporarily. God is not a taskmaster that He wants to punish us. He wants us to have a vibrant life. So that when we walk by, like the dream team, and I remember when who was it? Peter Boyle walked by that guy, and he says, "Rise in the name of Jesus Christ." The guy gets up and he falls to the floor. Well, God wants us to lay hands on the sick and say, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." And it happens. Do you believe this? And be careful in how you answer, because the next question is, if you believe this, why aren't you walking in it? So be careful. We have to understand that when the Spirit testifies or bears witness with me, there is a check within me. The moment I gave myself to Jesus Christ, I knew I was changed. Did you have that witness in you? Did you know that you have changed? Did I change from a child who just wanted all the perks and privileges, or did I become a child that not only has the perks and privileges, but also have responsibilities, and I want to learn what those responsibilities are because I want to be pleasing to my Father? I'm about what He wants, not about what I want. See, a child, any child, Dylan, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're selfish, aren't we? We want what we want when we want it, and we want it yesterday. Right? Because we're selfish. He nodded. He was nodding, yes. He was silent, but I got the nod. And that's for us as adults too. But for the child of God, we take on those perks and privileges and learn how to shoulder those responsibilities. That's what discipleship is all about. That's what personal ministry is all about. It's jettisoning what the world says is important and start operating from the kingdom. And what you need to understand is that when we become sons, God through adoption adopted us. Now, it's really pretty neat how this happens, because in Roman times, when we'll use a son, was adopted into a Roman's household, what happened was all the perks and privileges of that son left behind with the family that he left. He was now part of a new family. And so in becoming a member of this new family, he was treated as a regular member of the family. He had all perks, he had all privileges, and he was fully responsible. But the neat thing was, he also inherited or had a part of an inheritance of that family. And so do you. Now, we don't know when we're going to inherit this thing, but we do know that part of the inheritance that we're to give or be given is glory. We're to receive the same glory as Jesus receives. Isn't that what the scripture says? We're also to receive a kingdom. Jesus is going to receive a kingdom for 1,000 years. We are too. That's why we're emphasizing all this preparation. I don't know if Holly understands what prophetic worship is, but it is the ushering in of the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is also a battle cry for the saints of God to arise and begin to take the land through praise and worship. What prophetic worship does, in a sense, it drives the enemy nuts. in such a way that the enemy will slaughter themselves and the people of God will just go pick up the spoils of war because God has won the victory. And you could see that. Who was it when Hezekiah? Jehoshaphat went out and he said, send the praisers forth. Well, God is speaking into the land, send the praisers forth. But what's going on today? There's a lot of spiritual wizardry going on. There Jezebel is running rampant within the church. There is so much ungodly ministry going on. And we put God's name to it. But that's not going to happen for the true believers of Jesus Christ. We're not going to put God's name on anything. His presence is going to dwell with us. So we have this inheritance. We have this inheritance in God the Father. What have we inherited from God the Father? We've inherited His nature. We have His divine nature. Okay? Everything that God is, we are too. We just need to be trained in this. One of the big revelations I got in the last month or two was about love and how I operate from love. God's love has three parts to it. He has justice, He has compassion, and He has truth in His love. I was operating, because my personality is, one, God's judgment. Rules, regulations, can't even think of the words today. All kind of things in which to make things work. Standards is a good word, but all these things that help make me function properly. And when people don't function in those areas, my administration becomes frustrated because I'm operating in a part of God's love, but I'm not operating in the fullness of God's love. And so what God was teaching me was I need more to flow in His compassion and His truth, understanding there's grace and mercy that He extends through His judgment or justice, and it set me free. I absolutely refuse to let the behaviors of other people get me frustrated and angry and stuff. And we've had some intense fellowship the last couple of weeks. But I absolutely refuse. Why? Because I want the divine nature of my Father to come out. Because as He is, I should be. I'm not going to let somebody push my buttons. That doesn't mean I'm not going to have times that's going to happen. But I'm mentally not letting that happen. We also know that when we're bearing witness to the Spirit, that we're His child, all of a sudden that fear of God goes away. And God floods my heart with His love. God the Father. I love my kids. I love my kids so much that I will tell them the truth when they're out of order. I love my kids so much that I will do whatever I need to do to make them successful. I will supply them with everything I possibly can. I will die for them if I need to. Because I want my kids successful. And you parents want the same thing for your kids. Bring it into the spirit realm. God wants that for His children too. He died for us. First thing to demonstrate His love, He died for us. That would probably be the last thing we would do for our kids. He made available to us His Spirit, which regenerated us. And He flooded our hearts with love. So that we could love those that the world doesn't love. That's why it's important that we understand our responsibilities, not just the perks and privileges of coming into the kingdom. We have a responsibility as His children to do what our Father says. Think about your families and growing up. If you didn't do what your father or mother said, was there ramifications for your disobedience? Was there? Yeah. There was. What makes us think, and this is thought that's permeating through the church, that God is not going to punish us? Oh, God is full of grace and full of mercy. He's got all these holy goosebumps all there. He wouldn't punish me. Well, you look at Hebrews and see what it tells you. My father punishes me. He punishes me when I get in the way to try to protect one of his own children that he wants to punish. I call that unsanctified mercy. He'll punish me, get me out of the way, and then he'll punish the one that he wants to punish. So Dylan, don't get in the way of mom and dad straightening out your brother and sister, okay? Don't do that. You're not going to like it. Take it from Pastor. I didn't like it. But you know what? I was stupid. I did it a couple times. And then all of a sudden, after I got my behind whooped on a few times, I realized the problem was me, because I was looking for the common denominator. And it was me. So don't do that, bud. You let them suffer their own disobedience and you'll be fine. So when God removes this fear of God the Creator, because that's what the world is afraid of, that's why they don't want to talk about God. We want to talk to the world and those who are far away from God, because He died for the whole world. We want to talk to them about the love of the Father. But they want to talk about Creator. They want to talk about science. They want to talk about everything else but the fact of who He is. And that's because we're not in the Word. We don't have a really hot relationship with God. We're not able to articulate clearly to them. And so what happens is you hear things like, let me take you to my pastor. He'll explain it to you. My Bible says we are all able ministers of the gospel. Share what you know and find out more. Repent to your Father and He'll give you more. Now Jesus knew that we were going to have problems. He knew that this transition from a physical existence to becoming a supernatural, a spiritual person, the transition was going to be awkward at best. And so what He did, not only giving us His Spirit, He gave us a personal tutor. John says, you have no man to teach you but the Holy Spirit. Right? How many of us rely every day on the Holy Spirit to teach us, to show us something? Nikki, you're more spiritual than I am, because I'm still fallible. Every day. Yeah, she does, and praise God for her. Now it gives me a goal to shoot for again. Every day. Don't make fun of my sister. I'll have my father beat your butt. My dad can beat up your dad. He never lost. Yeah, how about that? So as sons and daughters, we have this inheritance that we're going to get. We already know that we've inherited all the DNA of our Father. We've also inherited His divine nature. And so part of this teaching that we go through in this life is to learn to allow this divine nature to come out. And the faster we learn what this divine nature is and how He wants to come from us, the more we're able to touch the world. But we want to inherit the good things. We don't want to do the sufferings. Okay? We want the glory of Jesus, but we don't want to suffer for Jesus. But that's not what the Scripture says. Scripture says, if we suffer for Him, we will be partakers of His glory. What is Jesus' glory? That He is King. He has a kingdom. We are going to inherit a kingdom. We are going to rule and reign. We're going to judge nations. We're going to judge the angels. We're going to be just like Jesus. Fully divine, fully man and woman. We're going to be just like Him. Here's some of the sufferings. And it's not somebody making fun of us, because I didn't see that in the scriptures. Here's some of the sufferings that the church has gone through in persecution. They were persecuted, beaten, burned, stoned, cut in two, whipped, filleted, lost jobs, were starved, family members were put to death, murdered, possessions confiscated, homes destroyed. All to pressure them to recant their faith in Jesus Christ. Irene's parents went through World War II, and they suffered persecution. Much of it, people don't understand, but that persecution of their faith was to not allow Hitler to destroy them. Hitler was an antichrist who wanted to first destroy the Jews, and then he was taking on the church. He was doing a spiritual warfare because he had pagan ideas that was systematic in taking over the world and filling the world with this pagan religion of superiority, that we are superior in Jesus Christ. And we don't exude this superiority, we humbly demonstrate it. We're not arrogant people. We're humble people. Have you suffered this kind of persecution? This is what many of our brothers and sisters in other lands are going through. And when you hear people say, just drop an atomic bomb on there, kill them all, let God sort it out. Now, it hurts my heart, because that's not God's heart. God wants us to get out of the comfort zones of our lives and really get involved in people's lives. Of which, that's why I say, Streams did a really good job in engaging our community. To really, truly, for the first time, engage our community was a big step. And it really was. We will only share in the glory of Christ if we embrace the sufferings of Christ. We do not have the capacity to understand the redeeming value of us suffering for God and the cause of Jesus Christ. But God takes our suffering and uses it to plant a seed of faith into someone else so that it doesn't die. And so we freely give our lives for those who are still coming to Christ, because people are looking for reality. And what they see is hypocrisy in the church. Our Father wants us to put hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is really juvenile and infantile. Thinking that we can get over and fooling people. But the only one we're fooling is ourselves. Because God sees everything. He's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Turn to 1 John. We're going to finish up. 1 John 3. Starting in verse 1. John says, "How great is the love of the Father that He has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known to us. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." God the Father does not want us to be afraid of Him. He doesn't want the world to be afraid of Him. He did not come to destroy the world. He came to save the world. He died for the world. That's good news. That is really good news. But there is a condition that we should no longer live to the wants and desires of the flesh. We need to take that off. The world is so corrupt that it tells us to binge as close to falling into sin as we possibly can, and you won't lose your salvation. Show me in Scripture. This Scripture says, if I'm His child, I purify myself from the filth of this world. Comes back. Whose child are you? What child are you? God loves us. He loves us so much that He doesn't want anybody to perish. That is His will, that none perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But there is a responsibility that unto this generation people were taking as gospel. And this generation is no longer seeing the severity. They're trampling on the love of God to stay in their sin. And God has sent His prophets to the church to plead with His people to forsake that sin. Forsake what you're doing. Forsake those people that would draw you away from God. Because what is at stake is your eternal salvation. Your relationship to go to heaven and be with Him. As you've heard me say, we were all going to go to heaven, but not all of us are going to stay there. That's why Jesus said, see and count yourself to see if you are worthy of the kingdom. Our Father says we are. Our Father has bestowed upon us great and precious promises. He has imparted His very own Spirit into us and filled our hearts with love. And then you know what He bestows upon us? He bestows upon us a gift and a title simultaneously. He calls us sons and daughters. He calls us sons and daughters because He loves us. The Greeks divide love, and I was reading this book, The Five Languages of Love. We have that, right? And the author writes that about the love that humans need, and he breaks it down into 5-6 categories. And the Greeks used various words for love. He used words like erao, which is eros. And that talks about a erotic sexual passion. They call that love. And much of our youth in our generation is enamored with this love, which is dishonoring to God. That passion should only be in the marriage bed, not construed as a way of life or a rite of passage of enjoyment that everyone should have. Stergeo, which is a love that is the devotion of the family. That should be there. We should be so devoted to our families that the love of God should exude from us. We should be so in love and committed to the family of God to exhibit this love. And I think we're on that path. I think we're doing a pretty good job. But we have a ways to go. There is phileo love, which the city of Philadelphia is named after that. And we know that that is a brotherly love. But God has given us His love, a divine love, agapeo love. And agapeo love is a love that has compassion for, regard for, and kindness towards our fellow man, even at our own expense. You see, when God has bestowed upon us and calls us His sons and His daughters, He has simply given us a regal title. You are kings and priests. That's who He says you are. You're no longer paupers. You own everything that He has. He owns everything in the physical world. But you know what? He's trying to teach us how to be faithful in the little things. We want to do the greater things. We suffer from ADD of the spirit. We don't want to do the work that God says we need to do because we want to do this. We want to impact over here. And like any child who wants to do those things, the parents have to calm that child down and say, you know what, you don't get to do this. You need to do these things first. You need to get these things because you don't see what I see. And if you're able to do these things, you'll get to do these things. But they aren't a right that you get just because you're my kid. You have to earn these. What does sonship give us? First of all, it's a privilege received only for those who have received Christ. That's according to John 1:2. It becomes our reality the moment we become born again or spiritually regenerated. John 3:3, 1 Peter 1:23. We have been adopted, and thereby we are sons and daughters. That is Ephesians 1:5. We are recipients of God's lavish and infinite love. 1 John 3:1. It just states it right here. We are heirs of God, co-heirs of Christ. Romans 8:17. We are expected to live up to our identity as children of God. Ephesians 5:8. God expects us to grow up. God expects us to put childish things away. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I did things as a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things away. What is it that God's been saying to you that you need to start doing in your life? To start growing up? You see, the kingdom is not going to stop just because you don't want to participate. You will go to time out until you begin to yield to what God wants to do in your life. And people don't understand this. They think that they can still do whatever they want to do at the expense of the rest of the family of God. It doesn't happen that way. And finally, we will be disciplined as His children if we go astray. Hebrews 12:5 through 11. Just read it. See what He says. As His children, it's not about gain, how much we can gain, but how much we will lose if we don't become His children. We will lose our life. We will lose our title. We will lose our nature. We will lose His presence. We will lose the perks and privileges because we were irresponsible. God doesn't want that for us. He is an awesome Father who looks at each and every one of you with the potential that He has put into you for you to fulfill. And part of that fulfilling is us sharing our faith with those who have not come to accept Jesus Christ. That is our responsibility as His children. God said to us, go and bring them. Compel them to come. And these signs shall follow you that you are my children. You will heal the sick. You will raise the dead. You will speak in other languages. Nothing that they put in front of you will harm you. You won't be killed. I could go on and on and on because God has a plan for us. He has a plan for us individually and collectively. I want to exhort you to really know who your Father is. He's my hero. He's my hero. He went to war and won so that I may live. And then He said, Gar, here's your victory. Because that's who He is to me. He's my victory. He's all that we could ever ask or imagine, and He is so much more. And He loves us, and He wants to bestow His grace upon us and love us just because that's who He is. You don't have to do anything except be at His feet and bask at His words and listen to what He tells you and then do it. That's what makes us faithful sons and daughters in His house. That's who you are. That's who He says you are. But only you can determine, only you can determine what kind of child you're going to be. I see a house of God's children in it. I see these empty seats soon to be filled with His children. They may not know Him right away, but they need to hear more about who He is. They need to see the reality of who we believe and trust in from our lives, putting away childish things, no longer thinking, well, you know, I'm just a kid. God can use your life even more so because we have a generation that is being lost because the world is seducing them away from God. God wants you to have fun. And I can remember the days, early days when I got saved and I was sharing my faith and people get saved and I just rejoice. I start weeping and crying and rejoice because the Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice. They don't understand salvation. They do understand that we're His kids. And so are they. They just don't know it yet. Stand with me. Father, we just come before You. And as Your sons and as Your daughters, God, I ask that the divine nature begin to come through. That those who don't want You, God, don't know what they're going to miss. The day is going to come when we will all see You face to face. I pray a spirit of boldness and tenacity upon Your children today, Father. A spirit that will go after those who are far away from You. A spirit that would not consider themselves or the circumstances that they're in or the plight that they're going through, but seeing those individuals who are no longer aware of Your great love for them and what You have done in order to win them to You, God. I ask, Father, that You give us a spirit that You gave to Joshua, Lord. That You would raise up not only the prophetic voice, but You would raise up the prophetic people in this day, God. That Your fivefold ministries would come forth, Lord God, and begin to administrate Your will, Father, upon the churches. Not only in Williamstown, but throughout the world, God. Lord, fill our hearts with fire, fill our mouths with truth. Allow our walk to be nothing but light, God. I ask and plead the blood of Christ upon our lives right now to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, cleanse our minds from all the filth and junk that has been infiltrated into it, God. Clear our minds from the junk that the secular world is trying to get us to digest and say that it's true. And help us, God, to be in Your Word and eat it like You told the prophet to eat it and swallow it. So that it would be inside of us, God. Let us have the heart of David, that we have hidden Your word in our hearts, that we may not sin against You, that, Father, we would not look on any unrighteous thing, and that our hearts would remain pure to You, Father. God, forgive us of our disobedience and willfulness, God. Help us to mature into the men and women that You have called in this day, God. Help us to empty our hands of the childish things and take up the things of the kingdom, God. No matter the cost. No matter the cost, God. Last year at this time, we stood before You, Father, and we presented men who wanted to live in covenant relationship. And a sword was given to them in Greek, and it said, no matter the cost. God, You paid it all for us. Help us to give it all away for you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.